Welcome to Season 1, Episode 11 of the Dr. Karina Smith Podcast. Conversations about yin yoga and Chinese medicine.
Well, this is an absolute treat, and I think that for the people that listen to this, it's going to be really amazing because you're so well loved and very famous in Melbourne. I'm not sure if you know that.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to this chat, and I've been missing seeing your face. It's been a while since we've
been able
to sit together.
Yes, Ava's been, well, my practitioner for over a decade, and we have a really lovely relationship, but also she's so graciously allowed me to come and do mentoring sessions with her, which is the gift that keeps on giving. And I guess one of the reasons that I wanted to talk to you is because I got so much, and I continue to get so much value out of your experience and how generous you are in offering what you know with other people. And I think that a lot of people would benefit from that.
Right. Yeah, really more than happy to share.
Yeah. I think the more that we share, we all grow together. Yep. So that's kind of one of the purposes of these podcasts as well. So for those of you that don't know, I mean, Ava's an incredible practitioner, but she's done extensive training in five element, and five element acupuncture does feature strongly in her treatments. And one of the things that I really remember that stood out to me that Ava said once was that it's really important as a practitioner that you try and meet the energy of the patient, and that when you actually can connect in with that energy of the patient, you're really going to have a much more congruent session versus perhaps being quite firm and stuck in your ways, and then there can be a bit of resistance between the two people. And
that's
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
Mm. Exactly. It. I was lucky to have a bit of training, or I was trained with five element acupuncture through Guy Bennett's, and he was beautiful in teaching us how to sit with the elements and how to sort of diagnose and see what element each person coming to you was predominant in, you know. And it's called a causative factor or constitutional factor in five element acupuncture. But it is so important that we realize that it's not us that's doing the healing, nature heals. You know, we sometimes need to get out of the way. But in order to really truly meet one's soul, then you've got to sit in and amongst that energy. And it's not emerging. You know, it's not a codependency. It's actually just identifying which element is most predominant in a patient or a person, and knowing how to just amplify that element within yourself and mediate, moderate your own dominating element so that you two can actually meet, and that their spirit can feel safe enough, and that Shen can rise into the room to get the most out of the session.
Mm. Do you ever find that patients come in and straight away you can see what might be their sort of stronger or constitutional element, but there's another element in them that's out of balance? Does that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and there's, you know, there is the primary element. Everyone usually has one key major element, but there are minor elements too. And, yeah, definitely in different courses of people's lives, you'll have certain elements really coming up, you know, and as well as the seasons. But predominantly there is always one causative factor in a patient. Yeah, I mean, how often we all misdiagnose that causative factor as well, you know, and that constitutional element.
Oh, it's so easy. Ava would bring me out of a session with someone and say, what was that patient's element? And I would think to myself, I would overthink it. I would overthink it and probably get it wrong. And Ava would say, wood. this wood. I was like, yeah, okay, wood, I see it now. But if you don't quite know what you're looking for, it can get a little bit murky. And I know for myself and for people that I've met along the way, we love listening to five element theory because we all want to self-diagnose us better. But anytime we can start to cultivate better skills in picking things up in the patient from the moment they walk in the door, we just know that we can hold that space better for them. So I was wondering if we might be able to go through the elements today, and you could perhaps speak to the element itself and the season, and then maybe some things that you might see if that element was out of balance or some of the strong characteristics you might see in the patient.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Since we're in spring, I don't know if we want to start with the wood.
Let's lead it with wood.
Yeah,
absolutely. Wood, wood's fantastic. I mean, all of them are fantastic. And and once again, it's not about a hierarchy of emotions. You know, it's not about saying one is greater than the other. It's more about looking at what is the natural form in this element and in this season. So, you know, we all know with wood, we've got that beautiful freshness of green, of the budding of possibility coming up from the earth that's been underground during winter, that's been still and hibernating. And so with that, we look at the emotional and the personality, you know, of the wood element. And, you know, a really typical beautiful trait of it is someone who is always looking at possibilities and looking forward. You know, and that can visualize and can see and can plan and can move ahead. You know, it's they can action their decisions pretty easily. So, you know, in springtime, we all just want to get out and start making plans. We want to like manifest physically, bring into form all that's been bubbling under the springs for winter. And so with the wood element personalities, you know, there's, I mean, when we go through colour and sound and odour, emotion, you've got someone who's almost got that sort of freshness of the green coming through their skin. You know, you can see it in the weight room. They usually either really punctual or they're a little bit late, you know, and muddled with it. And, you know, I always try and start that diagnosis when I walk into the waiting room, you know, or on the phone to a client. The aspect of the wood element has the voice, the sound of it is quite a shout, you know, even if they're whispering, there'll be some quite solid shout to it and very distinctive, you know. So the smell is rancid, you know, that sounds quite bad, but it's not like you can smell, it almost smells like someone has massage oil on, you know, or it's just, it just hits you in that part of the night. So by going more into the emotions of the wood, you know, the wood element people are often leaders. You know, they're quite good decision makers. Or UN, you know, there's a lot of concern about the state of the world, where things are fair, you know, how the underdog's going. It's beautiful sitting with a wood person. But as a practitioner, you know, to come in and meet that element, it's really helpful in order for them to feel really safe. It's helpful for you to be sitting in a sure place of yourself, you know, direct communication. You know, some wood elements like the dot points, you know, things just given without too much fluff and muddle and, you know, just that clarity of the wood and the directness. So, you know, a lot of people, we talk about anger, you know, in TCM with the wood element, you know, the liver, getting hot, rising, or well, excuse my language, but shit on the liver. But, you know, in essence, there's other elements that sometimes have a little bit more anger in them than the wood element. The wood element people can be timid, you know, or they can be forthright. You've got obviously the yin and the yang officials, so it moves along with that.
Yeah, gosh, thinking about that craving or that wanting to make plans when spring arrives, I'm sending out all empathy for people that are in Victoria right now because, gosh, that just makes so much more sense with this feeling that we all have at the moment where we want to make camping plans and we just want to do the thing and we can't yet.
And express and move. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just something else that's kind of adding a layer of all this emotional turbulence that's going on for people because, yeah, they've been very patient and we just have to wait a little bit longer. So the wood element is in there as well.
But it's interesting, I mean, you know, looking at that and watching some of the politics and things like that and diagnosing the elements of the different politicians, you know, it's fascinating watching that and that aspect of authoritarian tones and the pointing of the finger, and it's quite often wood, you know. It's, I mean, Donald Trump was a classic, you know, wood person. So, yeah, but, I mean, I've got, you know, dear a dear Wood Element patient, and just as every lockdown came, it was just so deep. It was such a deep offence, you know, for her nature, because her innate nature is to just to grow and seed and spread and look at possibilities, you know, and move. So, yeah, the different elements are handling lockdowns. You know, you see different trigger points for each person.
Yeah. What an interesting lens to look at this through, the lens of the elements. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Should we move on to the next element? Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about fire.
Fire. Oh, fire people, you know, just you walk into a room and you can see the fire element person. You know, they're like this light spark in a room. You know, and fire element people, they need warmth. They need that intimacy. They need that deep connection, you know, and it's about uplifting and enhancing, bringing light into that space. And in the same aspect, you know, the fire element one has got, you know, the four officials going on. So, you know, it's a more complex element. You've got that sort of the other side of the fire element is that more a deeply internal person, you know, that place where sadness can hit on a deep level with certain fire elements, the personality. So it's not grief, it's a deep, deep sadness that can come. And on the other hand, you know, that experience to light up a room is just so powerful with fire element people. They love touch and connection. You know, so meeting a fire element person, you walk down, you think that you've known that person for years in the room. It's a beautiful experience. And I always know when there's fire element people in the clinic because you can generally hear the laughter from all the different places. And the tone of the voice, you know, you can be sitting with a fire element person and they can be telling you something quite tragic, but it sounds like they're getting to a punchline of joke. You know, it's quite, you've really, you know, you've got to keep the center because as well, you know, the heart is the emperor, the official, you know, you've got to really honor the space of fire element people. There's that tone in the skin. Obviously, you can see the redness coming through. Sometimes that can be quite an ashen look in the skin. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if we're talking about our current time, you know, the loneliness that can be felt by fire element people is really deep. And the other emotional aspects of that, you know, summertime is we look at summer, we look at the abundance, we look at the sharing of the harvest, you know, we look at the intimacy and celebration and you feel that when you're sitting with a fire element.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. They talk about the smell of fire being a scorched smell or a burnt smell. And I've had one experience so far where I've treated a patient, I left the room, and when I came back in, I honestly thought something might have been on fire. I was like, something's burning in here. And then I stopped and thought to myself, oh, no, that's the burnt smell.
Yeah.
That's the scorched smell. Nothing was on fire, thank goodness. Yeah. And it was undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely made sense with this particular client.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the smells hit the different levels of the rooms, you can see, you know. So sometimes I enter the clinic room after the needles have been in or whilst the client's been getting onto the table, and I sort of crouch down a little bit just to get those deeper, lower to the ground level smells. Like sometimes smells a little bit lower. But, Guy would always sort of say it's like you've just taken the towels out of the dryer, you know, and that's a nice fire smell. But I definitely know that scorched smell too. And fire element people, you know, I mean, quite often there's that deficiency. I mean, we often see the heart chi, heart yin, heart deficiency, and you know, with fire element people, they can burn themselves out. They can burn so bright.
Yeah.
And I find the same with the healing. You know, they'll come in and it's like, okay, give it to me, hit it. You know, let's get this healing started. And the connection is so strong, and you know, you entering your fire element within yourself as a practitioner. You know, I find that one really fun because the room is light, but you've also got to keep that tone of the sacredness of the heart, you know, keep the conversations just intimate, meaningful, and you know, fire elements love hearing something a bit personal about self, you know, so without going into too much depth, you know, just sort of be aware in your day of what's, if a fire element person comes in, what's something that I can share about myself to enable them to feel more connected with, you know.
Beautiful.
Put them at ease, you know, letting those barriers loosen a little bit, opening the heart a little bit more while still holding that space. Yeah.
So nice. If you'd notice the smell once you've come back into the room, I'm sure that, you know, there are different times in the treatment where you might notice a particular smell, but how would you maybe explain that very intense smell that I experienced once I'd come back in? Is that something being released by the patient, or is that something being corrected? How would you explain that at that timing in the treatment?
Oh, look, I mean, it could also just be that you have their smell has had time to enter the space. You know, that they've become present in space and that you've picked up on that, you know. But, yeah, definitely I've noticed in different, sometimes with the entry, exit and release points and things like that, the senses will be visited a bit more by that person's natural chi, you know. So as the blocks get removed and their circulation starts happening, you might notice their skin colour completely change. You know, and similar with, you know, the sense of smell might change a little bit, or their voice tone. You know, and definitely you're watching the breath. You know, you can see with those release points, which are quite strong, you know, there's often a, and then you can see the whole room will settle. You know, it's different with each element of how that shift comes about.
Yes.
So the observing of things is so important as a five element practitioner. And I think, yeah, it just, things will move and things change, and whether that means the smell gets stronger or whether it's also you attuning yourself and coming back in and taking note of what the room feels like.
Oh, yes. I'm thinking about times that I've been on your table as a client and certain points have been done, and that feeling of the room settling and you settling into the room, that's such a moment. Oh, you don't even know you're holding. Until the valve gets opened with a little liver 14 or a little spleen 21, some classics there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm ready now.
Yeah.
Ready for the treatment.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? You think you've arrived, you think you're grounded or in your body, and then the release points come in and you actually, yeah, you're in a hole.
Yeah, or you think you're fine and you think you're holding it together and the first question gets asked and then here come the tears.
Yeah.
And then out it comes. Yeah, I think that's happened. I think that happens every time I'm on your table. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing being met. You know, it's such an integral thing for our soul to just be met in its element, to have that reflected upon us. And, you know, people really turn up for that. And it's difficult. It's difficult as a practitioner to really come in with that dedication with each session. But once you can, you know, once you've got those things that you're looking for and those sort of guides just to tap you to kind of come in and meet someone truly on that level, the magic just happens in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure does. Oh, okay, well, that feels pretty good. For the fire element.
Yeah, then, I mean, there is so much about these, you know, we're just kind of touching on them. And Nora Fraglin, Guy Bennett's, Nora does some fantastic blogs, you know, looking into the deeper aspect. And I could talk for hours on any single topic of how each element would react to a certain situation or a trigger, you know. But we would keep with the basics at the moment, I reckon, and, you know, feel free to ask any questions along the way.
Yeah, I will. Things will probably get juicier as we move through. Maybe when we move through my element, I'll ask more questions. Either way. Let's talk about the earth element.
Yeah, earth. Oh, so earth element, the people, you know, people of the earth element, you know, the one thing I really notice is that beautiful sing-song voice. You know, it's like they're just quite present, and it's almost imagining how beautiful poetry or books should be read. And earth element people, of course, you know, going into that pensiveness, you know, they're beautiful thinkers, they're deep thinkers, they're deep carers, they're quite that typical term of empaths. You know, the earth element people want to nurture, you know, and feed and wrap people up, and how do I put it? When you're around an earth element person, it almost feels like you've got that great earth mama hug going when it's in balance. You know, and when it's out of balance, yeah, it can be like, you know, the Jung archetype of the tyrant mother. You know, I mean, the archetypes, especially Jung's work, is so beautiful if you're reading them and also thinking about the five elements. You know, everything can be interwoven, everything's connected. But I find sort of with the earth element, you know, one of the big things with the patients is looking at boundaries. You know, how are their boundaries? How are your boundaries with? You know, are you just kind of wanting to merge in and wanting to scoop up, wanting to hold them? You know, there's a slight energy and a part of it where you might feel this grabbing or this neediness in the room. Like they just can't quite get filled up enough. You know, the treatment's finished, everything's been sort of tended to, and then there'll be something else that's pulled up and needed last minute. And you know, there's a beautiful point for that too, you know, the old broken bowl. Just sort of helping that chi sit, be held and stay within the body. But earth element people are also, I mean, they can have anger too. Water elements are fantastic with anger, you know, but if you misunderstand or misrepresent or don't really listen to an earth element person, don't let them speak. You know, that's a great offence to that official. It's not a comfortable zone for them to be. So definitely with earth element people, you want to be sitting calmly, sitting grounded, allowing them time to digest the thoughts that are going through, you know, digest why they're here, you know, what's going on for you in your world, how are you feeling, listening to you. Whereas other elements might find that a bit slow. So I'm like, right, let's, you know, great, what are we here for? And where are we going with this? I mean, my partner's an earth element, you know, and he is the epitome of it. You know, he'll sing in the shower, he'll do things quite slowly and groundedly, and I'll be racing out the door, you know, but I'll have to come in 3 or 4 times because I've left the keys, I've forgotten what time it is. So I'm just on the roll. And yeah, he's a brilliant psychotherapist. So you know, he spends his time reading and taking in immense amounts of information, and then he'll go for a walk, you know, and he'll digest and he'll process it, and it's a very different way of living, you know, than some of the other elements, the earth elements. Empathy, understanding, listening, nurturing, holding the boundaries for them so it's safe. All those things.
I definitely notice I feel like of the elements, to me at this stage, the earth is a little easier for me to notice, particularly when it is out of balance. And I do tend to see in the earth element people that I've treated, and I treat predominantly women, females, that the earth elements that I see that are out of balance, there can be this tendency where they push them, they've been pushed to the back. Because there's this, the scooping and the tending and the caring for everybody else, they need a little bit of guidance and support to kind of reestablish that sense of boundary, as you said, to know that it's okay to be nourished themselves so that they've got that place to draw from when they are scooping and tending and feeding and caring and giving that mother element to everybody. Do you see that in people as well?
Oh, a lot. Yeah, a lot, a lot. And it's, you know, you can hear it in the language too, you know. Oh, how are you? Yeah, I'm good. But my housemate, you know, I've just been running around trying to, I made them breakfast. And, you know, there's that sort of ungrounded sadness of sort of grabbing in at, you know, the serving and that servant energy around it. But then an earth element in its power and in its centeredness, is just this incredible being of, you know, I'm not here to fix you, but I'm here to listen, you know, and I'm here to hold space for you. And, yeah, earth elements, you can feel them in the room. The smell is this beautiful sweetness. It's almost sort of floral and it can be sticky, you know, if it's out of line, if it's out of whack. Yeah. But it can feel a bit brittle and clayey, you know. If it's too stuck and too heavy, you know, it can be that almost that mildewy smell, you know, that thick.
Is that the dampness coming through? Is that the extra moisture coming through the earth?
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, we can turn it like that, I guess, with five elements. They don't really do the hot, the cold, the damp, the, you know, the dry, the heat, that sort of stuff, as far as that, like, TCM style goes. But definitely, you know, definitely it's that, you know, in TCM, it's that lack of transformation, transportation. It's that lack of being able to absorb the richness and the goodness out of life and move with that. And that's another note too. You know, it's like sometimes with earth elements, you can see that burnt out aspect where they're not absorbing the compliments, they're not absorbing the treatment, they're not absorbing the time in the room. You know, it's everything's come at a bit of a cost, you know, if they've been pushed too far. And, yeah, and that's a big one, you know. And it's not, obviously, codependency goes throughout all elements, you know, but it's interesting to look at the elements with, you know, Gabor Mate talks a lot about childhood trauma, you know, and you're looking at, we are all, when we're born, you know, this harmony between the five elements. And once that first shock hits the system, your element comes forward, right? And then from that point, your perception in life, the way that you react to life into interactions and your relationships is really that foundation around that element, your constitutional element. So with earth element people too, it's like we look at that patterning given the earth of you know, how do you receive sustenance? How do you receive caring and nurturing? How's the relationship with the mother? How's the relationship with the child now, you know? It's not that sort of mononuclear aspect. It's also earth people are driven to benefit community. You know, is huge for them.
Service to others.
Service others, you know, and it's enriching and it nourishes. It's where they get their source as well from. So once again, you know, when I'm talking about this, there's of course, you know, the yin and the yang official, you know, and also there's deficiency and excess within each of those. So if you want to pick up any aspect like more stomach driven or more spleen driven or the excess deficiencies of those and what comes through the personality, just let me know. You know, like stomach, for example, more stomach dominant earth element people constantly in production, you know, constantly working, constantly producing the next thing. And sometimes that really strong earth smell can come out almost like burning food, you know, for those constitutions. And you're just like, yeah, that's great that you're generating so much. But can you just sit and ground for a second? Can you see what it is you're creating? You know, can you watch people enjoying these feasts, you know, that you've produced?
So before you're cooking the next meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Slightly burning it.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So what else have we got with earth? So we've got the skin tone, right? With earth, it can be this guy used to always say, you know, it's this mangoey, can be a mangoey color, you know, this beautiful pink to yellow kind of spread across the face. Or it can be sort of quite a strong, you know, dry yellowy kind of look. But you know, with all of that and with the smell as well, like don't be afraid to just, you know, ask permission, obviously, but pull back the collar and just sniff the back of your client's neck.
How funny that might be for a second.
The first couple of times you do it, you feel really awkward, like very creepy. And especially, you know, when you're coming into the room, you're like just sort of trying to suss out the smells. But, the earth smell is, it's... I mean, I find the earth smell a little bit easier to pick up, you know. But then again, you know, my mentor guide was earth element, so I got to watch and see earth in action a lot.
You give a really good hug on arrival. I bet you probably pick up on it there.
Oh, yeah. I know. I can't help myself. I love the you know, the greeting. Oh, and then, yeah,
it's
definitely
the best.
Coming to you. And also just everything is a diagnostic tool, isn't it? You know, you watch and, you know, you've got some of the fire elements that will definitely move away from the hug, you know, whereas other fire elements, they're charging towards you before you've had a chance to say hi. You know, the good elements will give quite a good stiff hug, you know, or they'll go to shake the hand, you know. And the water elements will probably be on their way up to the room whilst they're still hugging you because they're in a rush to get everywhere. But, I mean, we joke about these things, but I think it's so easy with the comedy to understand, and you get to see the characters and the personalities of it.
And it just reminds me of always being in this role of observing, that everything, there's value in every single moment that you're witnessing and observing as a practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
With the emotions, something that I've been doing in my practice is asking patients, do you have a go-to emotion? Is there an emotion that you find yourself going to as your common reaction to when things go wrong? Do you have a tendency to kind of arc up straight away and get defensive and want to push back? Or do you have a tendency to sort of pull away and shrink and feel a bit deflated or a bit sad? And that's been really helpful for me, because some people go definitely sadness, or, yeah, definitely anger. And I don't think that that necessarily means it's all wood, but it just tells me, it just tells me so much about them. I found that useful. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, and then in even another poignant angle question to go on is, and which emotion do you feel most uncomfortable, Sydney?
Mm.
You know, and just pausing enough to sort of watch that recall, watch where it hits the body, you know, watch which area they're protecting within themselves when thinking about that emotion. And I think it's a very difficult one, because in our society we do have that hierarchy of emotions, which is crazy. You know, we don't see them all as being just as valuable and playing with each other. You know, we sort of go, oh, I'm not angry. You know,
it's just like,
let's sit in anger for a sec. Let's see what anger feels like in this room right now. You know, let's allow that timidity to be there. The fear. You know, so it's a beautiful self-investigation. And I've often said, you know, I started off working with a lot of esoteric acupuncture, you know, and I still work with esoteric acupuncture a lot, but I loved it because it would be traversing these different realms and, you know, looking at expanding our vibration, and, you know, was getting right into some of these juicy aspects of energy. And it was the most humbling experience to realize that was just so much bypassing, because I hadn't sorted out my emotional body yet. I hadn't gone through those natural blockages. I hadn't learned to sit within the parts of my element that were really uncomfortable sitting. And so if we're not actually doing the work on ourselves, then when we do go into things like Kundalini yoga, you know, esoteric acupuncture, deep plant medicine rituals, then it can be like getting shot out of a cannon, you know, and finding a way back could be like walking through a labyrinth to try and come back to home into the body. So there's a lot of value in actually just moving back into this simplicity of the five elements and nature, and looking at the seasons and, you know, bringing that back in as your very, you know, base need to understand yourself on all these levels, and not just yourself, but how are you to be in relationship if you can't move beyond your own element and the way that your element sees life and reacts to life. And you will have no idea about that, you know, until you're called upon it. So, you know, there's that notion that this time is kind of, it's not survival of the fittest, you know. It's survival of those who can connect in with people. Survival of those to find connections and to find compassion, you know, and consideration. And if you can only just sit in your element, then that's a really difficult thing to meet, really connect in deeply with a vast different number of people in the world.
Yeah, and I can hear in that it's almost as if survival is those that have the willingness to be with the stuff that comes up. And I know that's kind of a bit of a buzzy sort of a phrase, but to actually be with the stuff that comes up without immediately deflecting or running away from it or stuffing it away, and all these things that we've trained ourselves so well to do, which is why a therapeutic relationship is so great, because they help you come back to that thing that you just skipped over. Yeah. And be in it. Like, I don't know how many times I would be on your table and you would say, where do you feel that in your body, Karina? Because I would go straight to talking through it or describing it or going into story, and you would call me back to actually be in the sensation of it, which was really hard.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Yeah, because it's juicy, you know, going, wow, that took me back to when I was
and
five.
And it hurts. And it's painful.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be in pain. So we've got pain that maybe we can handle okay. And then, as you said before, what is the emotion that you find the most uncomfortable? It's probably the one that you never allow yourself to be in, because you've created these very clever hacks on how you get out of it. This yeah. weasel out of anger.
Yeah. Like in David Bowie's Labyrinth. Oh, no, don't go that way. That'll take you straight to the castle.
you gotta go through all the painful stuff.
Yeah. Totally. You know, and that's, you know, it almost should come with a bit of a warning sign sometimes, going into five element acupuncture. It's like, oh, this is gonna take you places, you know. And the beautiful thing is it's like we don't need to project a story onto what that emotion is that's coming up on the table. You know, sometimes it's actually a beautiful release of a trauma or something, but other times it's just a release, you know, it's just a soothing, it's just an allowance of flow. And I think sometimes we do that. I think, unfortunately, sometimes we do move too easily into the story and the narrative, and we miss the actual purpose of just allowing that unfolding or unfurling of the soul, you know, into its destiny.
Well, the story is the safe casing around the feeling to me. The story is a place where I'm happy to be, because the more I write that narrative, the more I'm kind of burying the seed of that painful thing that might actually have nothing to do with the story. The story is actually how I've protected myself from the thing, from the feeling.
Yeah.
And I think even more, the practitioner that's holding space for that, you know, we need to keep doing our own work so that we can hold space for people when their stuff comes up.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, absolutely. And I think when you're, you know, hearing you talking about the story of things and how, you know, that's the creation to keep everything safe, it's like, and in that it's understandable, you know, it's understandable that the brain tries to figure something out. You're trying to fix something, but you can't heal something in the same state that's causing it. You know, you can't work in time to heal something that's actually trapped within the body, within the meridian system. And so we've got to go to the entry exit points to just, you know, release that. You know, we've got to allow that space for the body to do its natural healing and get out of the way with that. And sometimes the story is really, you know, just so fitting, especially with the element, you know. And I love, I do love sitting and listening to a good story from clients, because you watch their body language and you watch the tone of the voice and the skin change, and you're like, wow, you know, they just went from looking really like an earth element totally into metal, you know, and you can kind of gather, you know, what's going on here and the dynamic between the organs as the story unfolds. And, you know, the beautiful thing about that therapeutic relationship is, as you see someone over time and over years, and even over a few sessions, you know, you can really pick up on the thing, the narrative of what's playing out in all the different relationships in their life. And you're just like, oh, of course that's going on. Your metal element, you know, you're not feeling respected. You're not feeling honoured by these people, you know. And all of, you know, the story is about not being honoured and revered and seen, you know. And it's actually once you sort of uncover that and balance the metal element, and actually realize it's a completely different scenario going on in there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I feel like you just read out of the pages of my diary.
The good old metal, yeah.
Of metal. Well, good segue too.
Yeah.
Good segue, so the metal.
Yeah, so the metal element you know, sometimes I do find the metal element easiest to treat because of the way that I will move and walk around metal element people and speak. You know, all of a sudden that little slight awkward twang in my voice will just get sort of pulled back a little bit. My words will be pronounced a little bit better. I'll sit up straighter. You know, the space is always smudged and cleansed before metal element people person comes in. You know, it's just the metal element is like, in a sense, it's that highest value of life. You know, it's the element that's the closest to heaven in Chinese medicine. So you really do need to, you know, wipe your feet, clean your hands, you know, honour the space of a metal element person. And in saying that, that's very much the lung archetype. The large intestine archetype can turn up completely dishevelled and kind of looking like they're carrying three different bags of stuff because they're just all over, you know, like, the discernment or the ability to let go of gear, you know, and let go of some of the grief or some of the hardness in their life is not functioning that well in the official. Mm. But an upright sort of lung official metal element person, they will have the finest of things. You know, their room will be and their space will be very organized and pristine and, you know, yeah, it's... Yes, it's you can spot a metal element person walking through the clinic doors really well, you know? And yeah, you want to make sure that your clinic room is fit to hold the metal element person. And you know, they're the kind of people that you do naturally sit up and give respect for, you know. And I remember Guy telling me this great story of a metal element patient that he had once, and he just slowly lowered the chair. As a practitioner, you know, just to allow the metal element person to feel more comfortable, he lowered himself down just a little bit, until he was sitting quite a fair bit, you know, down on a different level. And he just said the room felt so much more comfortable that way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yes, they knew their place. They needed to be up on the throne. So metal element people, you definitely skip the nonsense. In a sense, talk to the heart of what matters, get to the deep connection of it. You know, it's like sitting with God. You know, you wouldn't be talking about two dogs running down the street.
Beautiful line.
Yeah. Yeah. So their voice has, it's a tone that is, you really listen for. There's almost like a slight groan or a grief tone in between the words when you're hearing them. J.R. Worsley, you know, the founder of the Five Element Acupuncture College, he was a metal element person. He's got a few YouTube clips so you can hear that. It's almost like you can see that that person is on the precipice of sadness or there's a pause almost in the words when they're talking. And with that, you know, comes that natural inclination for the metal element people to experience the sadness of life, you know, some of that grief that is with them. You know, it's that slight feeling of separation, loneliness, or that there's just something that they've lost that can't quite be brought back. And people who have gone through deep griefs know that feeling. It's just something that's missing in their life.
Yeah. You wrote something beautiful. It might have been last autumn about the metal element, and I would be paraphrasing, but you said something about an intense feeling of longing within the metal element.
Yeah.
And the way that you wrote those words, I mean, people could maybe go and look up that post. I think it was on Instagram. The way that you wrote that, a penny dropped for me, and I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, in one or two sentences, I feel like Ava has just described every single emotional episode that I've lived through. It's this same kind of root feeling of lack or feeling of longing for something I can't describe, like something is missing, and it's just that keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. It's the same thing showing up with different people or different places.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really honouring. It's honouring that sense, because that's, you know, like we're saying with all the elements, this is very real. This is how life is lived for people within each of these elements. And For some people, that would be the most uncomfortable experience, is having to sit or live in amongst this sense that of longing that something is missing. You know, but for metal element people, it's also their home. You know, it's natural for that to occur. So, you wouldn't laugh. I'm going to say, you know, if you're a fire element practitioner and you've got a metal element patient sitting there telling you, you know, I just feel like there's something missing in my life, in my house. You know, you don't come back with that as anything other than just completely respecting how deep that must go for that person. And I mean, you know, like metal element people as well want to know they've got the great quality of life around them, you know, so things that they choose to put into their world, people and practitioners are of such value and such honouring to them. And when you get to connect and bond and be close and have a friend or a colleague who's a metal element person, it's a beautiful, loyal thing. You know, it is like sitting with God or sitting in a room that's just been meditated in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you've also got sort of the other side too, like with the large intestine. I had a housemate who was a metal element, and on one hand, their appearance was just absolutely pristine, just, you know, the jewelry and clothes and everything. And then you'd walk into the bedroom and it was chaos, like nothing could be cleaned out, you know. And it was just this beautiful example of those that element, you know, coming in together in an imbalanced way, you know, nothing could be let go of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's helpful. And it's really helpful to ask, you know, metal element people what their living situation's like, you know. And others are just like, well, I've got the finest of furniture, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And other people are like, I struggle being at home because everything's grotty, everything's messy, I can't, you know. I can't figure that out. So I can't clear it out.
And what is the smell of metal? What is the element smell?
It's actually quite metallic, ironically enough. You know, and the smell is interesting because it's very pungent. And what I mean by, and it took me a long time to figure the smell out with metal, but it's more of a, where does it hit you in your face, in your senses? And it's quite high, you know, it's quite a high sense up in the nose. And I still struggle sometimes picking up the metal smell because it can be really, really, really subtle. So I tend more towards listening to the voice, looking at the skin tone, and then just, you know, investigating through the emotional expression of that person.
Beautiful. I'm just letting all the lovely things that you've said kind of wash over me.
Well, look, I mean, there is, isn't it? There's just so much to talk about with the elements and how it represents. And, you know, I think... I'm more than happy to go into detail, you know, for anything that comes in. But, you know, in saying this too, it's beautiful to sit in with that metal element aspect of self, you know, and I'm sure a lot of your clients, you know, and people that you've taught yoga to, you know, will absolutely be able to understand that metal element part of you, you know, when you sit down and...
The structure.
The structure, well, not only...
The organisation.
It's more around you wanting to make sure that things are done right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That the process has been respected, that you've put your heart and soul into honouring the lineages of what you're teaching, is what I notice with the beauty of your pristine nature of your classes and your teachings. And it is that, you know, it's you honour the lineages and you bring all of your heart and soul into it.
Mm. Yeah, there's a reverence. There's a reverence for all things. It feels that way.
Yeah. Rituals are great with metal elements.
Yes.
You know you've got to.
And as I'm learning, they're very they're not sort of luxurious. They're very necessary.
Oh yeah.
Very necessary, especially at this time.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, with ceremony and ritual for me is sort of to bring you back to nature a lot. It's like without those things, without the burning, the planting, the reaping, the harvesting, all that sort of stuff, it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I find, you know, I have you know, usually like this room that I'm in is very metal element based, even with the colours. And when we painted and renovated the clinic, you know, I got Young Living essential oils and used the Valor mix in it. And, you know, it just allowing that, using the different elements, the awareness of the elements to heighten yourself as a practitioner, and, you know, to be able to allow yourself to sit in the other spaces quite easily.
Mm. Yeah. And then we have the water element.
Water. That was quite ironic. I was like, water. actually, you know, in a lot of the readings, I find sort of the water element, you know, almost the hardest to find more resources about. Water element clients are sometimes the clients that you dread. Okay, so they can turn up, they can be in a rush to get where they want to get, they're really ambitious. The thing to really upset a water element is put something in their way, you know, like make it difficult for them to achieve their goal. And water elements like to sit on the edge, you know, well, they can, you know, when you're sitting in a room with a water element, it's helpful to kind of keep some movement going, you know, so whether that's just you, you know, slowly just touching your hands or doing your lips like that, you know, just try and keep some aspect of fluidity going into the room. The water element clients that I really find easy to pick up on are those that are quite adrenal junkies, you know, so like that Red Bull sports person. They love living life in the fast lane and challenging, you know, the bounds of their physical and mental health. And they can also be, you know, the opposite. They can also be still and clear like a lake, you know, and you can sit in that depth of the archaic record, so to speak, or the knowledge and wisdom that water elements can bring forward. So sometimes it's just kind of finding your rhythm with a water element person to be able to let everything move enough to uncover that stillness.
So have you encountered I was just going to ask, have you also encountered where the water element can isolate because they go so deep? They can go so deep within themselves that they actually don't want to engage anymore. They don't want to connect anymore. They actually want to kind of hermit themselves away, yeah. And they can kind of go cold.
Yeah, exactly that. And, you know, with all the current restrictions going on and checking base, touching in with some of the water element people, there's been freezing of all other life, just waiting for this to finish. Some people have gone so deep that plans and dreams and that feeling of moving towards your destiny and connecting in with that has been put on hold. And that can also be with a touch of fear, you know, and the paranoia. Water element people are great with paranoia. So, you know, all you have to do is whisper something to the receptionist out the front, you know, and you'll notice the water element person will be looking straight over there, so thinking, what is going on? Just move something slightly in the room and they'll notice. But definitely water element people, you know, they can run really deep, and it can take you sometimes years to uncover the true nature of it, you know, what's under that bubbling spring. And, you know, the wisdom, like we said, you know, the wisdom, the hidden depths, I think the transparency that can go on with water element people is quite beautiful too. You know, so it's not all about the underground. You know, sometimes it's just as simple as a lot of water element people is what you see is what you get. You know, there's nothing else in the way. And that's, you know, going back into that diagnosis, it's almost like skin. Skin looks like it can be moving. It almost looks transparent, you know. One minute in one element, and the next minute it's changed to another colour. You know, it's it can be tricky to pinpoint the water element. But if someone has a lot of stagnation, you know, then their face will literally, or not even stagnation, but some water elements just look blue. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. They'll walk in and you're just like, wow, you're actually blue, you know. Water comes in so many different forms. You know? But there's definitely the aspect of that slight little bit of fear, and whether someone runs towards the fear or whether someone freezes and moves back from the fear.
Mm.
is a key diagnostic. The rambling, you'll notice, me being a water element person. You know, I can keep going without taking a breath. You know, and my voice can be quite monotone. So it's another way, if you often can't get a word in, you know, they might be water. Yeah. So what else can I let you know about the water element? The smell of the water element. You know, some people smell like the ocean. Some people smell like the rain. Some people smell like a deliberate puddle, you know. And so all those, like, you know, and especially like if you can, you know, you can pull back the towels and just in the crook of someone's lower back, you know, it might actually smell like a wet puddle, you know. So always keep those senses alive in any part of the treatment. So water people really need reassurance in their life. It's just reassuring, like, yeah, you've got the wisdom to do this, you know, or,
right.
No, you've got this one, or, no, everything's going to be okay, you know, it's like, but it's actually really scary out there, isn't it, you know, it's really dangerous out there, isn't it, you know? And what element people just need that, I can see that, but no, it's all going to be okay, it's not too bad out there, you know, just putting at ease. So, yeah, and look, I mean, water element people, there's a lot of adrenal burnout going on, has been going on over the last decade that you see in the clinic. But you can definitely tell a water element person because you say, are you tired? No, not at all. Not at all. You know, and it's like, because you've got no pulse, you look exhausted, and you just told me you're sleeping 3 hours a night, not feeling tired at all. You know, like it's just that
burning through reserves.
Yeah. And it's also that beautiful thing of sometimes water element people just really can connect in deep with what their destiny is, what they're here to achieve in this world, you know, and what their purpose is. And, you know, so you go rushing from that winter into the spring. Whereas other water element people, yeah, it can be too cold, too wet, too dark under there. Moxa.
It sounds like there can be so much complexity with the water element, that potential for such depth and not really, you know, maybe not wanting to come up to the surface, or it can be totally clear, as you said before. Yeah. So they're probably the most enigmatic of the elements.
Yeah. And, you know, and Guy always used to say to me, you know, you go through your bookings and if you kind of pause on a person and go, make sure I eat before that one, you know, then often they're going to be a water element, you know. They'll right. test you and they'll take you to the different corners of the room within a flash, you know, or they'll be just very still and difficult to reach, you know, sometimes.
Mm.
But, it is a complex one, and maybe that's also because I'm water element, you know, and I'm trying to figure myself out all.
Yeah, so it seems like, as we were talking before about how important it is for us to continue to be working on ourselves, that we have all the elements within us, even though we might have something that really comes forward, and that when we are meeting the patient, I feel like as their element becomes obvious, I have to touch base with mine. Like I have to find where my fire element is, or my wood, or my water, in order to make that connection. And I think that's really the quintessential part of learning about five elements, is learning how to get in touch with all of those things within you so that you are able to connect and really hold that space for whoever comes in.
Yeah. And which do you find the trickiest one for you to sit in with?
Probably. Well, I don't know, in different circumstances, because I think that I do it easily when I meet people, but if I'm on my own, it's very difficult for me to touch base with the fire element. Or if I'm on my own, it can be difficult to, probably fire element when I'm on my own, because when left to my own devices, I am in that productivity mode and that structured mode, and probably a bit of water element in there as well, but that spontaneousness and that wanting to connect and the laughter and the just that joy that bubbles up. I love it when I do get to touch base with that, but it's usually because I've connected with someone. And that's the whole point of the fire element, isn't it? It's connection.
That's the whole point of all of them.
Yeah.
We need each other. We need all the other elements around us to keep a balance for us.
Mm. And sometimes you can be a little tired before you treat, and then a patient comes in and this wellspring of something comes up in you that you didn't know how to access yourself. And I find that that's where the magic is for me.
Yeah, isn't it?
And the patient has no idea that they've just helped to activate that in me for me to then be able to move through the session with them.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. I always love that feeling of working with a wood element person. It's like, oh, you just need me to write this in an email in dot point for you. Do this, 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 and this, and I'll see you next week at this time, you know? And it's awesome. You know, and it's because the wood element with me is something that I don't probably sit in a lot. You know, I'm not a great list maker or planner. I don't step forward to lead often. You know, I mean, you Google my name and I try and keep as underground as I possibly can. but it's amazing the feeling of the wood element, isn't it? You know, like the spring clean and getting on top of things and having a purpose to it. And, you know, I think that's, it's really poignant as well, you know, in how you're finishing the sessions with each element too. You know, like you don't want to leave a wood element hanging saying, oh, look, I'll just text you about when the next event is. You know, it's just get the next two or three bookings done, you know. It's like at the moment, you know, it's such a beautiful day out there. It's spring. You know? It's enjoyable. You just want to get out and do it now. You know, walk now, you know, plant those plants now. You know? Whereas like autumn, and you know, relating to that metal element, autumn has got like the horizon is the clearest that it's going to be all year, you know, and that perspective is so pristine and clear in autumn. And that's what you need to be when you're with a metal element person. You know, just think about that Christmas of the air, you know, get to the
that's point. So beautiful. Yeah. And it's so true. The light in autumn is magnificent. The sky, the light, the dawn and the dusk in autumn. It's absolutely magnificent.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, when we're talking about all these five elements, like you're saying, you know, let's not have shadowy aspects of our personality, you know. Let's not criticise the archetype, so to speak, of the tiring mother or the this or that. Let's just actually acknowledge how all those aspects being a massive part of us and seeing it more like this interchanging, you know, beautiful ring where things are going to be coming forward and then receding for the next season and forward and receding and, you know, experiencing the world through the seasons is, I mean, this is sort of, you know, back into the Han Dynasty, 200 BC, when the five elements sort of really came forward in Chinese med. And when I first started studying it, I was like, oh, this is so simple. And then now it's like, oh, this gets so deep, you know, because from here, then obviously we go into entry-exit blocks, how to feel them, you know, what your point selection is for where somebody is in their element on their journey of reaching the kidney, the heart's communication of their destiny. Like, where are they in that journey? What points are you needling to assist in the process of them blossoming into the full expression of their being? And if that's not...
That's a whole other podcast.
Isn't it? That's not what we're here to do. Like, what are we here to do, you know?
Yeah.
We're not here to fix and tinker tyres, you know? It's,
yeah.
It's kind of meet the soul, meet the spirit.
And I remember you saying to me that a lot of people, the sessions that you've done, the actual kind of the bearing fruit of that or the transformation of that isn't necessarily going to happen on that same day, but a month or two later or 6 months later or a year later, then it comes through.
Yeah.
So it's also not as if the acupuncture, I don't even really know how to put words to that, but it sets something in motion that then has to unfold at a particular timeline.
Yeah.
Which is probably good for them because, you know, it's very hard to get a booking with you.
Yeah, look, I mean,
good that the sessions are so powerful, they can do that, you know, you don't need to come twice a week or something.
Yeah, and that, I mean, look, that's the thing too, isn't it? It's like, you know, sometimes what you can achieve with the five element acupuncture and the entry exit blocks and things like that and the correct needling is what you might spend 3 years in counselling trying to get around to. But so much is stored within the body, and the body knows how to heal itself. And, you know, it's that beautiful trigram of perception, behaviour and physical, you know. So it's like if you can balance up these things, then the way that you perceive the world can change, the way that you interact with the world can change, and your body can actually function through its own natural harmonious state again in alignment. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of need to almost tweak just two corners of that trigram, and you've got a whole different experience of this one life that you're living. You know, so I think it's I'm sold on a lot of this style of acupuncture because of the changes that I went through when I was studying. Guy, you know, said, look, come in, get treatments whilst you're studying this. You know, really, let's get to the root of everything. And I remember, you know, so clearly being the ward element, you know, he picked it up and at first he thought I was metal, but I think I was on good behaviour. I think I was just trying to, you know, I was just like, and as it unfolded, it's like, wow, that nervous energy, you know, you are water. And I was like, I don't feel nervous. And I realised I was just moving so much. And he said, oh, how about your anger? I was like, nah, I'm an angry person. And still to this day, I crack up laughing at that response. You know, the water element people can go from being sunny, bright day to then just like bring on the rain, thunderstorm, you know, just you're in my way. You know, the anger is just so under the surface as well with water. So for me, it was a huge part of my life to actually acknowledge and to come into that and to know to sit in my body and to read my body and to assume that anger is with me every day. Because that's part of my element. Like you were saying, that longing is going to be with you every day. Your metal. Mm-hmm. And how to know when that actually is determining the way that you're perceiving your relationships, or whether that's, you know, altering the way that you're in response to relationships. You know, that acceptance of
yeah, it's taken me a long time to accept that part, as you say, accepting that the anger is going to be with you every day, that feeling of longing. It's taken me a long time to really accept it, but the way that I understand it now is that I'm longing for God.
Yeah.
That's the feeling.
Yeah.
It seems to me within my senses that I'm separate from the divine oneness because I'm in this little body, and that just keeps playing out all the time. That original feeling of lack comes from the misperception that you're lacking God. And so then if a relationship doesn't make it or you're nostalgic for the past, those things are really just symbolic of where that lack really comes from. And so now that I understand that, I'm able to see it when it plays out in my life, and it's not that big a deal anymore. Because I've had to kind of get to the root of that and really understand what that lack is.
And what's your relationship with it now?
I just have to notice it. I have to notice that that's coming up and acknowledge what I think is triggering it, but then recognize where it's actually coming from. And then I've got to process a little mental, it's kind of like a sort of a series of sayings that I have to sort of heal it. Or to correct the misperception that I've had in my mind and return me and the thing, or me and the person, or whoever it is that I feel like I'm in conflict with.
Yeah.
And I kind of imagine that we both melt back into God until there's no borders separating us. And it feels completely different. I have a whole feeling that comes up in my body, as opposed to that feeling that always used to be there under the surface, that I was this chasm.
Yeah.
Didn't matter what I did or how connected I was, that there was this feeling of hollowness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's the point, right? That being really aware of your own stuff, and going in there and investigating it. And you can't always do it alone. You know, you've had incredible people that you've worked with. I'm currently working with incredible people in terms of the therapist having a therapist.
Yeah.
People to help us really have a light shone on the corners and the darkness and the things that we're skipping over, because we've trained ourselves so well to do that, so that we're able to uncover those things and heal them for the work that we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, it's such an ongoing process all the time. And that's the same sort of thing with, you know, even those entry exit blocks, you know, how many times we have needled, you know, the little 14 and those things. It's like it's not that you can just reset once and then you're not ever re-triggered again. You know? So it is important just to have those people watching and tapping of when you're sliding into some of these old patterns and or new patterns even, because they come too. You know?
Yeah.
And I think
I feel like we could talk about so many things if we were, you know, to go into the points and what you feel in the pulses for that. And that's a whole nother conversation on its own.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and more than happy, you know, more than happy to share in those deeper levels and to even sit in each element if you need to, whatever comes up, if anyone is wanting anything particular, just let me know and we can talk about that. And I'll send you the link as well for some of the resources.
That'd be great. Yeah. I have a link in there. Yeah. Or maybe we can just possibly pencil a part two. We could go through some points.
Sounds great.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll flow and see how we go. Yeah.
That sounds great.
Thank you so much for this today. I know that people listening are going to find what you've just shared so incredibly valuable, and it will have spoken to them on a deep level about themselves, but also it just helps us to keep growing our awareness for the people that we're holding space for. So thank you so much.
Such a pleasure. Thanks for your time. See you soon.
Anytime. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, for everybody that's with us today, and we'll call it here. Thanks, Ava.
Pleasure, love. See ya.
Bye.
To view the show notes from this episode and to subscribe, visit drkarinasmith.com/podcast. And don't forget to check out Karina's online courses at drkarinasmith.com/courses and use promo code SAVE10 to get 10% off.